more than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast.
It's been Overcast for what, the last 3 days in a row?
I forget what the sun even looks like, dude. But hey, you know what? If you guys are listening to this, thank you for sticking with us. As we found out today, Google Podcast is no more. They are done, kaput. So if you listen to us on Google Podcast, thank you for finding us on whatever other podcast app you enjoy out there. We're obviously big fans of Overcast, so we always say go with them. They're our favorite one. But hey, thanks for continuing to listen to The Call Podcast, even though it is the off season. We're a little late about what's been going on, but hey, we are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. Thank you all for joining us on this show. It's been a little while, but our buddy Dave over there on Discord, he's our friend from across the pond. He demanded a new Call Podcast, and who are we to say no to that? So joining me, as always, to talk all things Baltimore Ravens, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. I would say this, whether it's Dave or everybody else, we got to give the people the show. I know better late than never. We apologize. I don't know where the time went. Me and Brandon were trying to link up, record for Free Agent Frenzy, and then for some reason we fell into a vortex, and here we are in April. So,
I can tell everybody out there now that it's Josh was going nuts on Free Agent Frenzy. When are we going to record? We got to record.
I was like, let's go. And then
this is on me because I got COVID. And
you're doing good.
I am doing better, but let me tell you, this bout of COVID, this is my second time having COVID, way worse than the first time. I don't know why it was different. It knocked me on my butt for like 4 days straight where I could not get out of bed. I'm good now. I'm good now. After about a week or so, it kind of subsided. I'm still having a little bit of trouble like catching my breath. But this last bout of COVID was nasty for me. So I don't know what's going on.
Glad you're doing better, my friend. And again, we went through a lot. I mean, Free Agent Frenzy was crazy, obviously. The breaking news that happened with the Ravens and then with acquisitions and some leaving there. So
some, I feel like we lost half the team. It seems like it's been a mass exodus from the castle in Owings Mills
a little bit. And not only that, but speaking of the castle and going with the theme, exits a queen and enters a king. So we trade a queen up for a king. And we'll get on to that. Obviously, it's old news, but we'll still put our reactions out there and discuss it, Brandon. I've been chomping at the bit. So, shall we unpack and get into it?
Let's talk a little bit about everything that has happened so far in the past month or so. Derrick Henry, officially a Baltimore Raven. What are your thoughts on Derrick Henry coming into the castle, being a Baltimore Raven from now on? Allegedly, it was supposed to happen around the trade deadline last year. It didn't happen. He's here now in free agency, but that was the big signing. The Ravens welcomed Derrick Henry to the flock. What are your thoughts on the addition of Derrick Henry?
As I unbox my nice little halo light to make myself beautiful looking on this thing. Again, it's a podcast, but we still do video every now and then.
Get those YouTube shorts out there, man. Got to do it.
We got to do shorts. And like I said, the lighting in my office where I do the pod, it's not as ideal. But that's why we do gimmicks and all that, like lighting and make everything good. So while I'm over here messing with my accessories and unpacking, yes, I'm actually excited about the Derrick Henry signing. It was kind of bitter. Now I'm going to say bittersweet, for lack of better words. I'm not sure. But here's the thing. It didn't come as a surprise to me because we already knew it was trying to happen a few months prior, right? They tried and pushed for the trade deadline for Derrick Henry. Be as it may, didn't happen. He was heavily linked to the Ravens at that trade deadline. It did was the end of October, early November, in midseason the NFL, where all the crazy moves happened. We really thought Derrick Henry was going to be a Baltimore Raven midseason and push us, you know, to the playoff push. And look, we know what the aftermath was, AFC title game and all that. But fast forward to the free agency and the new season league year starting in 2024. They made it happen. Derrick Henry's a free agent. And lo and behold, he lands right here on the purple and black in Baltimore. Again, it doesn't come as a shock or surprise to many. It was the premier and perfect landing spot for Derrick. Obviously, he was on his way out with the emergence of Tajae Sharpe taking some carries from Derrick Henry. We always looked at, especially in the fantasy world, Derrick Henry being that like old school running back, like that bell cow. Like, he doesn't share carries like the rest of the running back by committee does. And when you saw how Tennessee was going with that, and you saw a few years prior when they let go A.J. Brown, you know, they had the team, man, A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And when they were started, trading away some of their big pieces, and then Derrick Henry on his way out. Look, I still think he has something left to prove. A lot of folks were like, nah, his best years are behind him. He doesn't have anything left in the tank. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Have you looked at him? He's still a freak. There's videos of him already in the offseason weight room. Like, the dude's a beast. He's a machine. He's a monster. I'm glad to have him in the backfield. But this is what we want to unpack, dude, and talk about. What I'm concerned about with Derrick Henry is, what are the Ravens' plans in the running game? Because as we know, still the bitter taste in our mouth on the AFC title game loss and won the doorstep of the Super Bowl and didn't make it happen. They had the team to do it. The frustration is still there for us, and it's been mounting, and the conversation is still being happening right now. The Ravens rushed the ball 6 times in the title game, where, again, going back to that, Bills rushed for 180 against the Chiefs the week prior in the divisional round. The Ravens rushed for over 200 yards against the Houston Texans in their divisional round. So you had to figure the Ravens are going to pound the ball to the ground a pound. Run game, it's going to be on fire, and they run the ball 6 times. Now they go get a Derrick Henry, and the joke was out there even in my group chats was like, we acquired Derrick Henry to what? Not run the football, because we know we're going to pass the ball. So I'm a little concerned about the acquisition just because of that one plan. And you might say, dude, it's one game. No, it was not just one game. It's the AFC title game, first and foremost. Second of all, they got away from the identity. If they want to bring in Derrick Henry, they want to be a run-first team. Look, this team is far beyond what it is. We already know what Lamar is, and great. We already know he came off a campaign of a second MVP, and he's a 2-time NFL MVP, and it's exciting to say, and it's exciting in its own right. But, you know, with that, he's not a 4,500-yard passer. He doesn't throw 50 touchdowns a year. The Ravens know, and we as fans know what their identity is. So let's get back to it. AFC North football, run the football, pass when you need to, balance it out, take care of it. But look, I'm excited, but I'm just saying I'm tempering my expectations just a tad because of the AFC title game and that game plan and everything else, and I like to see what they do. But again, it's Derrick Henry. It's always up from here when you have Derrick Henry in the backfield, I believe. Whether it seems prime, he's on his last legs, I still think he can still get it done, 1,000 yards and then some on the ground for sure.
Yeah, and I think this is a good spot for him to land, and I think he'll do well here as long as he can stay healthy. But literally, that's with any player. But I think this is a good idea because with a guy who is up there in age, you come to a team where you have Lamar Jackson who can run, who can throw the ball. Derrick Henry isn't going to have to be on every single play. It'll be great to see him out there and running and doing his thing, but he's not going to have to be there and doing everything in the offense. There's multiple targets that he can deal with. So there's that Lamar can throw to or pass to or whatever needs to be done. So what do you think of this running game, the running back room? So you have Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, and who do you think could potentially be that third guy to fill in that void? And do you think it is going to be like a three-headed monster? Because I'm assuming they are not going to have Derrick Henry being the guy on every single play.
No, and you have to remember, you know, mentioning Keaton Mitchell, he's coming off the injury. So Keegan has got to come into play, but he did get hurt towards the end of last season. So coming out of that, it's going to be interesting to see where his timetable is for his return. So you can't forget, it's going to be a committee with Derrick Henry leading the charge, Justice Hill right now, currently as it stands on the team, followed by young Keith Mitchell, who emerged last year, is a new, fresh, great running back. And we're excited to see what his future is here. And hopefully he's still here in Baltimore, and it's bright. Wherever he goes, it's going to be bright no matter what, I feel, because he just emerged, and it was exciting. And I felt for the young man when he got hurt. You know, I did get a glimpse of him at the title game tailgate. He was there in crutches. You know, God bless him, man. You know, going for the rehab and stuff. He was out there doing his appearance with the fans. That was great. Wish him all the best in the recovery. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see what this looks like, because as we know it, the running back room is looking way different. I mean, we entered last year with a J.K. Dobbins looking to come back and have a resurgent year. And, you know, with Gus Edwards and then Justice Hill backing them all up at a third running back, you know, J.K. goes down. Obviously, Gus is the man. And with Gus and Hill and then Keith Mitchell emerged, it's kind of like J.K. Dobbins Jr., per se, out of nowhere. And he filled the role. Then he got hurt at the end. And then, obviously, we know what's done is done. And the Ravens that left, we know Gus went on the greener pastures. And we know J.K. is... you know, as of, you know, late breaking news, he's visiting teams as well. So the running game and the running back room for the Ravens is going to look completely different, especially with Derrick Henry back there. I mean, look, the reaction was jubilant in the Ravens' favor when they signed Derrick Henry, you know, anywhere from, you know, current former NBA stars that are even in the NFL to current former NFL players to, you know, they were all just like, and then thinking about like, daydreaming about what it's going to be like with like a Derrick Henry. And then you have a Lamar who can run in at RPO. What does that look like? And Todd Monken, you know, licking his chops with his game plan and his playbook. So it's going to look a lot different. I don't know who that third running back might be because of Keith Mitchell's absence currently right now. I don't expect him to be anywhere near the start of the season. I think mid to late year is where we're looking at. So our partner to Henry and Justice Hill, we know Lamar, we don't want him to run as much, especially with the Derrick Henry in the backfield, but it remains to be seen who that third back might be. Can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Now, looking at the defense, which is extremely different, we know Jadeveon Clowney, he has gone on to greener pastures, meaning he's going to be making more money. And Patrick Queen also left town, but Patrick Queen went to the Steelers. That one stings a little bit. Now, I think all of us realize Patrick Queen probably wasn't going to be in the black and purple this upcoming season just because he kind of priced himself out of Baltimore, and we have Roquan Smith making the big money there, and Trenton Simpson got drafted. So obviously the writing was on the wall, but to go to the Steelers, oh, if that one hurts a little bit. And it's the same guy, Mike Tomlin, screaming at Patrick Queen. He told us this story last year when they were up against the Steelers, that he was screaming, "You're not a Raven, you're not a Raven," in his rookie year. And maybe Mike Tomlin knew back then he wasn't a Raven, but he was going to be a Steeler one day.
Yeah, that was a shocker. We thought that the Ravens could probably retain Queen in some form or fashion. Go to the enemy. And look, there's quite a few Ravens that went to the enemy. You know, Queen, he's a Steeler. How about Geno Stone, a Bengal?
He's a Bengal. Yep.
So we're going to get revenge games all around the AFC North here. I feel like I'm missing a few players. We know what's going to be intriguing to me outside division, but I believe the Ravens do play the Chargers this year coming up in LA, if I'm not mistaken, for the opponents. Obviously, the schedule has not been released. We'll get to that next month. Obviously, you know, apart from this cast, we're going to be ramping things up because the draft is actually at the end of this month. So we're going to hit that full steam, and then the schedule release should be the in May. So we'll know all the where and when, and we'll unpack that. But what's intriguing to me is the Los Angeles Chargers situation. Now we know John's brother, Jim Harbaugh, is back in the NFL. He's the head coach of the LA Chargers right now. I'm replacing Brandon Staley, and it's a new little Chargers. They let go Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler.
Oof.
And this team looks completely different under Justin Herbert's direction at quarterback. Gus Edwards is now a Charger.
Yep.
And not only that, but former offensive coordinator for the Ravens, our very own great best friend in the world, Giro, Greg Roman, is their offensive coordinator. So it's going to look a little different, but I'm not surprised that Gus Edwards went out there. Okay. As of late breaking news this week, J.K. Dobbins was visiting the champion Kansas City Chiefs. More to come on that. Hasn't signed anywhere. Devin Duvernay let go to greener pasture, left for that greener pastures is so cliche. You got me saying it now. You said left for greener pastures. I don't know if the grass is greener on the other side, because from what I hear, the Ravens are one of the premier franchises, and who would want to leave here? But I get it's a business, and the Ravens can't retain everybody. This isn't Major League Baseball, apparently, where you can just throw $1 billion contracts and have at it. But quite a few Ravens left. Jadeveon Clowney. Very, very disappointed to see him still go. He had a resurgent year with the Ravens, I should say. His career kind of had a renaissance this year. And one Raven I'm looking at to obtain is Kyle Van Noy. That was a surprise acquisition coming off the streets. And let's see what the business end does in getting it done. But I'm a little. In the grand scheme of things, there's some names I'm surprised that left, and then some I'm just like, look, it's a business. They did give Justin Madubuike the bag, as we know. They gave him the big deal. That was important. A lot of folks, I remember the reactions. They were like, that should have been the money to give to Patrick Queen to keep him and Roquan Smith together and that dynamic duo. And be honest with you, I like the Justin Madubuike signing more so than the Queen. Look, it's going to be a huge void in the middle line in the linebacker position, but the middle linebacker position set with Roquan Smith there, it was just a complimentary piece. And I think we can still do it. Justin Madubuike had a great year. He was deserving of that contract. And I'm actually excited that he's still a Raven for a few more years to come. So, and in retrospect of it, it's going to be a completely different team, as we know, as most cases with any championship, caliber team. They just get picked apart, and it just seems like everybody, right? Like Mike McDonald left. Now he's a head coach of Seattle. There's players linked to him because he went to Seattle. So it's just going to be a quite different looking NFL as we know it, with the head coaching positions that are filled. And some of the moves have been made in the NFL is entirely from free agent frenzy. There's a lot of new faces and a lot of shakeup in the league as we know it. But the Ravens, they're not going to retain everybody. And I'm excited to see how it looks, especially from a perspective of going against these players. I'm excited to even circle, not that we don't need to circle the Steelers matchups, man, but how about it? You're going to have a Derrick Henry and a Patrick Queen, clash twice a year with the Steelers right now. And then how about Lamar, going against that as well. And then Geno Stone, always keep wanting to say Geno Smith, quarterback of the Seahawks. Every time I see Geno Stone, it's like Smith. Five letter S word, right? It's the last name, but it's going to be pretty interesting to get to see him twice a year as an enemy as a Bengal. So let's line up and play some AFC North football. And I'm excited all around to see how it goes, especially with the acquisition of Derrick Henry. Couldn't be more excited for what is to come this year. And let's see where it goes, man. I'm along for the ride as you are, right? You just, and seeing what more moves they can make, and especially with the draft, what are they going to backfill and what the team needs are. We'll get into that a little bit later down the month, because draft's fast approaching, man. It's 3 weeks away.
It is. And like you said, Mike McDonald, he is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. I can't remember who posted this, because it has been a little bit of time. But over there on X, somebody said it's very telling that Mike McDonald, who was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, became a head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, and he did not go over Patrick Queen. He did not try to get him to become a Seahawk. Patrick Queen went to Pittsburgh. And somebody said, that's very telling that somebody as high up on the defense for the Ravens was not interested in signing Patrick Queen. And I was like, oh, that's a really good point. He has he's the head coach now, so he can do what he wants with his team. And he didn't go after Patrick Queen. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it isn't as big of a loss as we think it is, but only time will tell. But another thing that changed a lot with the Baltimore Ravens is the offensive line. Yes. You look at the offensive line, and it's going to be pretty much completely brand new. Tyler Lindenbaum's still going to be around. Ronnie Stanley took a pay cut, and I think he's on a prove-it year coming up now in this next season, because the Ravens, I think, are a little sick of not getting the results they want with him. But, I mean, obviously somebody in the front office listens to the Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call, because we talked about this after that Kansas City Chiefs game. He said that Lamar didn't have time. He couldn't do what he needed to do. The offensive line crumbled against the pressure that the Chiefs brought. And that was evident, and it shows with what has happened with this offensive line heading into next year. Obviously, they traded away Morgan Moses. He's gone. This is a very different offensive line. Potentially, maybe Ben Cleveland will get a full-time start this year coming up. It's been a while since he got drafted, so you kind of would hope he would show up a little bit more than he has already, but maybe they're finally ready to give him a shot. But this offensive line, the protecting your big investment in Lamar Jackson, going to be very different than what we've seen in the past next year.
Oh, you got to protect the investment. And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. And through all of this, there was that joke as well, like who's going to be running pass blocking right now, because the whole offensive line is pretty much gone. I think right now they employ Ronnie Stanley and Tyler Lindenbaum. And I mean, John Simpson even left.
He left,
so,
yes.
So like that whole line is completely shaken up, and it's kind of like a who's who, you know, and you're like, man, like, and that's a big need in the draft, right? Like they need O-line. They could use a few more corners, and, you know, there's some things to look into that. And even the receiving rooms, as we know, the once employed Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be no longer a Raven. He's a free agent to explore the next move of his career, even if he continues to still play. So, you know, right now, wide receiver one right now is Rashad Bateman, because Devin Duvernay's left. You have Zay Flowers, pretty much a wide receiver one, and Rashad Bateman is wide receiver two. And, you know, we already know Mark Andrews is back. You know, he came back at that last game, and he has all year to get healthy. But, you know, looking at the needs of this team heading into the draft later this month, offensive line and wide receiver and corners stick out at me 1, 2, 3 right there. I mean, I don't see it any other way. Be nice to get a linebacker or two in the draft. You know, we'll recap all that later this month, because, we'll have to do a pre-draft show. We'll break it all down, the draft picks, what to expect, some of the mocks that are going on out there, and where the Ravens are. I'm seeing early mocks that the Ravens could take a wide receiver late in the first. So, but you know the Ravens, right? They love to trade to get more draft picks and acquire. Will they move up? Will they move down? Will they trade out the first round? Way more to be seen and talked about there. I'm excited to get the draft to talk started with you all and with you, Brandon. But a little late to the party on the free agent frenzy, but better late than never. Glad to, you know, get that out there and talk to you. But yeah, there was a lot of surprising moves. You know, it was kind of like it was a breath of fresh air for the Ravens on day two. Day one was insane for the NFL that Monday. And then they'll settle on Tuesday, and the Ravens made the big splash the following day, you know, when there was a lot of Ravens leaving and fans are going, again, losing their minds as they usually love to do, right? Oh my gosh, man, when are we going to make a move? EDC, do something. What are we doing? And then we already knew it's in the works. Derrick Henry visited the Ravens and got the deal done, and let's move forward. So can't wait. It's going to be interesting for sure. And I'm telling you what, that Patrick Queen to the Steelers, I can't wait for that one. That first game against Steelers, I can't wait. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that in the LA Charger game because of Gus and Jim Harbaugh once again back in. There's a lot to look forward to this year with the Ravens and then with the opponents thereof. I couldn't be more excited heading into this year. I'm building upon a championship game berth and an appearance, and maybe building on from that, you know, and also to see what Zach Orr can bring for the defense. I actually love the defensive coordinator promotion from within. Zach Orr's got fire. He used to play for us, and I love the hire, and I can't wait to see if he carries on the torch that Mike McDonald started here with the ferocious, organized chaos, tenacious defense. And I'm excited to see if we can just go up there and ramp it up a notch. And we got Roquan Smith in leading the charge. What better way, man? You got the young talent, Kyle Hamilton, who emerged. You got Marlon Humphrey still there. There's a lot of talent on this team. Just because there are some players that left, could be some fan favorites too, doesn't mean that all hope is lost. We have hope for this year heading into 24. The future's bright. I certainly think the Ravens are a force to be reckoned with, the AFC, especially with some of the moves that happen across the NFL. Pretty much Ravens are going to be one of the top three teams in the AFC, especially now with the late breaking news that Stephon Diggs got traded from the Bills to the Texans. Texans are going to be no joke this year, Brandon. Mark my words, they're going to be something to deal with. And with the Bills, they lost Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, the top two receivers. So I look for the Bills and Josh Allen to take a step back. It could be us and the Chiefs, you know, tussling again with the Bengals as well, with Joe Burrow again coming back from injury. So we'll see how it goes. Can't wait to break it all down for you this year, man. We're going to be here every step of the way, whether we're late party or not. But life happens, and I'm glad we're all healthy and good, and we're back to podcasting once again.
And don't forget, we're talking about the offensive line here and what they're going to do next. Don't forget about Andrew Voorhees, who got drafted last year. You know I love that last name, but he got drafted last year knowing he was going to have to sit out last year because he got injured during the combine. And a lot of people are saying you got a second rounder in the seventh round. So there's a good chance that that guy, now that he is healthy and will have a whole training camp and everything underneath his belt, there's a good chance he joins this offensive line as well. And I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Obviously, the Ravens saw something before he got hurt, and they were willing to wait and see what he was going to be able to bring to the table. And that
apart from the Ravens, man, because I know there's a lot, and I'm not going to sit here and try to reminisce and break all the moves down, but there were some out there. Recalling real quick, what were some of the moves outside the Ravens that surprised you in free agent frenzy heading into this year? And what's something that like really jumped out at you? Like, whoa, like you didn't see or didn't expect, or something that really intrigued you about the moves?
That's a good question. Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that one. I'm trying to think of something that really surprised me. What do you have one off the top of your head?
I do. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Staying in the division, in the division, gets to play against Philly twice a year, especially with that running game and how Jalen Hurts always get those goal line carries and all that. And we know Jason Kelce retired. And I'm intrigued about that. So one that's outside the Ravens realm is Saquon Barkley. And believe it or not, the Ravens do play the NFC East this year. So Philly does come to Baltimore. So the Ravens will be playing against Saquon Barkley this year against Philadelphia. And that's something I'm really looking forward to. Another late move that just happened literally hours before the show. Stephon Diggs got traded from Buffalo to the Texans. That's going to be very intriguing to me because with what CJ Stroud did last year and what they can do with Tank Dell. And look, I know the Ravens, you know, blew him out in the second half of that game, but it doesn't really matter. It feels like that was eons ago. Texans are going to be a force. Look out. They got uniforms and naming business. They're going to be a force in the AFC, especially that division with Tennessee taking a step back and letting Derrick Henry go, and they're rebuilding. And Jacksonville, I'm not really a firm believer in that. But yeah, that Saquon move really sticks out at me. Another one was Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. That one's going to be huge because that offense just got a facelift, especially with our quarterback. And I can't wait to see what that does for Atlanta.
Yeah, a lot of QBs moving around. I think the one that probably shocked me the most was Russell Wilson coming to Pittsburgh and then Kenny Pickett being traded to the Eagles because just...
And Fields. They got Fields as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But think about that. Steelers got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Thank you for that, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's going to be intriguing, right? Like, what quarterbacks are they going to go through? Is that going to be a week-to-week thing? They got a mess on their hands.
I don't see why the Steelers would pick up Russell Wilson. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he didn't do well in Denver. I can't believe how much Denver is paying him not to play for Denver. That's even more insane. But the Bears move, I think, is a really dumb move. I think Justin Fields could have really done well in Chicago if they would have drafted him a wide receiver or some help or something on the offense. But I definitely see Justin Fields being the QB1 for Pittsburgh moving forward. I don't see Russell Wilson coming in and making a comeback
Not especially when you're right, Denver's paying a bulk of that salary and then they traded to get Fields secondary. You know, yeah. I think it's going to be Fields' job right now. Who knows if they're going to do this stupid competition kind of deal in training camp. But you have to imagine that's Fields' job right now. Maybe Russ makes a push, but the way Russ is playing, I trust Fields more in that. We'll see. It's going to be interesting whether, you know, how that shakes out for our rival there and the Steelers. But not only that, but you have to think about Chicago and why they did that. They have the number one pick still. They're linked to Caleb Williams of USC. Think about it. They added Keenan Allen. They have already DJ Moore on that team. And then they got so they have a good 1-2 punch at receiver. That's another team to watch out for outside of the Ravens. So can't wait. You know, and I certainly want to collaborate with our Fans First Sports Network podcasters, because I know there was a lot of reaction out there last month in Frazier Frenzy, and there was a lot more moves to come in draft. So, and there's more moves to come. I mean, literally just today, again, Stephon Diggs is traded to the Texans. So trades can happen still. Players can be on the move no matter what. You know, you always stay tuned for that. Can't wait again. You know, wrapping things up real quick. I know we have a few moments. I don't want to get out of here without bringing this up, because this was breaking news a few weeks ago. I think a week or two ago, wasn't well received. There was a couple moves in the NFL that I want to talk about real quick. The acceptance of what was formerly the XFL, now the UFL. The NFL is adopting their kickoff rule. For those who don't know it, go online and brush up on it. But the best way to describe it is players. No, they can't. You know how like the traditional kickoff where the players run and then there's a kickoff and they're all running? The players cannot move until the ball is fielded. What I personally like about it is it creates more runbacks, because, Brandon, how many touchbacks are usually on kickoffs? Like, what, 90-95%? Yeah. Like, there's no runbacks. It's not an exciting play. And I've always said, if there's a lot of touchbacks, why do you eliminate the kickoff and just award the team on the 25-yard line to start? Like, what's the point?
Right.
Kickoff has no purpose. This brings the kickoff and that purpose back in the NFL, and it's a safety issue. This kickoff is a lot safer, and I'm glad that the NFL has adopted those sort of rules there. And the other one was the hip drop tackle that took. Remember the tackle that was under a big scrutiny with taking Mark Andrews out in that game with the Bengals game, and now they've apparently outlawed it, and there was big backlash anywhere from Ryan Clark, former player, to Pat McAfee, to current players. A lot of backlash, and it wasn't positive. Everybody was like, anywhere from paraphrasing to how can you play defense in the NFL to, you know, here they're going to start legislating the game as we know it. I'm personally upset about it too, because Brandon, between me and you, this is the game we cover. This is the team we love. And I feel like more and more this NFL monster as they become, they're legislating the game as we know it. And before you know it, it's like, is it going to be illegal to tackle these players anymore? I'm like, how do you get these players down? It's called tackle football. You already can't hit them high. You already can't hit them low. Now it's like, because if they get out of your grasp, that was the whole hip drop. And it wasn't malicious. It's not like it's intentional. It's how is the defender supposed to get, you're supposed to get the player down. Like, I just don't know now. It's like, I don't even know what a tackle is in the NFL anymore. And I guess players don't like to hear your final remarks about that. But I'm a fan of the kickoff. Not a fan of this new tackle way of tackling, or however they're describing it.
When that Mark Andrews injury happened, we had a really great podcast. So everybody should go back and listen to that podcast, because we talk about this hip drop tackle and what to do. And I said, I don't want to see the game change. I want to see it evolve. So, yes, take out the hip drop tackle, but you have to teach these players and these new kids that are learning football coming up in peewee what to do instead of that. You can't just take the tackle out of the game. You need to replace it with something that is that won't injure somebody, or come, you know, it's something that is safer. If I don't want to see what happened to Mark Andrews to happen to another player, so like I want it to be safer, but at the same time, don't take something out of the game unless you have something to replace it with. So if you want to take that out of the game, fine, but say to tell players what they should be doing instead of that. Don't just say, can't do that anymore, and then penalize them. Like, that makes no sense to me. But we'll see what happens down the road and how this is going to affect the game moving forward. Let's see, a little bit of other news that came out. I don't know if you saw this. We're going to, of course, have our schedule release party, as we always do every single year, and see the schedule live on air. But allegedly, the NFL will be having a Wednesday game on Christmas Day, potentially a triple header on Christmas Day, on December 25th. I guess last year was such a big success. What are your thoughts on Wednesday night football? And what do you think? Could we see the Ravens on Christmas night yet again?
Very much could, especially with the opponents they have lined up and who they play this year. Very well could see a Ravens on Christmas Day or night. whether it be home or away, remains to be seen. I would be excited for it. Wins NA football. It's kind of unique. Not surprised. The NFL loves to showcase, you know, teams, especially now during the holiday season. I mean, they experimented with their first Black Friday game on Amazon Prime. They're already putting inserting themselves into the, you know, they already moved, you know, just kind of see it out. You said the word evolve. Like, they went from two traditional games on Thanksgiving, now the Thanksgiving night game, now a Black Friday game, now Christmas, you know, whether it's, you know, a Sunday or not, you know, it's a random Wednesday and they're still trying to put football on. So it's, I'm not surprised that they're trying to take advantage of the markets and, you know, folks home in the holidays. They're trying to capitalize on that. So again, I'm not surprised. It is what it is. Neither for or against it. I'm kind of like, hey, see what happens if the Ravens end up playing like they did on Christmas night. Let's make it a part of your holidays. You know, whether you're going to the games or whether you're not. If it's an away game, I think it's awesome. You know, you get family together and then you open, like how it was on Christmas. We open presents, you know, everybody had their Christmas day and Christmas evening, and then you had a great nightcap and what a game it was to remember, even though the outcome of the season wasn't to be, it could have been a rematch of that game. In the big game, Ravens fell short as we know, but it leads us to, you know, get excited, something to look forward to. It's always exciting when the schedule leaks come out, or it could be like, hey, the Ravens might be playing on Thanksgiving, they may be playing around Christmas, and we'll get to see how the holidays shake up. I know that's the first and foremost there real quick. I'm a little bit excited about that, see what happens, but you know, I'm not surprised. They want to experiment for Wednesdays. I mean, they're already playing football on Fridays now. So, I mean, the NFL is going to probably take over the whole calendar of the whole week at this point. I mean, we thought Tuesdays and Wednesday games were just a COVID thing in a COVID year. Apparently, they're not. Now they want to explore Wednesday night football or Wednesday day football. Sure. Why not?
Now, I'm also reading on the Ravens website that they're thinking about potentially changing up the alternate jersey and doing something different. What are your thoughts on changing up the Ravens uniform? They've been pretty standard throughout, you know, their tenure here in Baltimore, except for those terrible gold pants. But other than that, you know, what are they going to do differently, do you think, to their third jerseys?
Well, the terrible gold pants was apparently in April's Fool's jersey this year. And I thought it was a little cheesy because I'm like, really, you're going to prank them with the gold pants? Like a lot of. The only former player that was on the team, I think, was Justin Tucker that wore those. But it is what it is. But yeah, no, I'm excited to see if they tinker with it. I mean, look, I love the Ravens uniforms as it is, and they have plenty of combos, you know, with the different color jerseys, purple, white, black, the pants as well, purple, white, black. I love it. You know, there was talks that they could bring back the throwbacks at some point. The logo might not happen, but somehow with the throwbacks, I don't know, but it's their turn to see what else they can do. I don't know if they would do like a multicolor, like, you know, multicolor jersey. At this point, I don't know what they plan to explore because they already have great combinations and great uniforms apart from the usual traditional that they used to have where it was just purple jersey, white pants. And then on the road, it was white jersey and black pants or all whites. Now it's like you got your, you know, white with the purple pants, and then you got the purple jersey and the black pants. Like, we can talk about all the color combinations that they have, but I'm excited and intrigued to see what they come up with.
All right, so before we get out of here, let's talk about what's happening this weekend. It's WrestleMania weekend up in Philadelphia. Josh, does Cody finish his story and beat the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, for the Universal Championship?
Can't wait. Can't wait for WrestleMania. It's upon us. It's going to be great. I mean, it's been fantastic to see what the show has evolved. The Rock's back. CM Punk's back. We just talked about this last night with some friends. I was like, think about WWE. They're having blood back in it now. They have Cody Rhodes just started AEW. You have CM Punk and The Rock all back in WWE. What is happening? What is happening?
Yeah.
No, I think he does not finish his story. I think Roman still retains.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Bold prediction there. Okay.
Yep. And for all those who are going to WrestleMania, I've been trying to get there. I know Jimmy's is doing their two-part tailgates there. Fantastic. I can't wait to see how it unfolds and everybody going up and enjoying WrestleMania 40 in Philly. It's going to be fantastic. Two-nighters. We know it. Love it. Can't wait. Me and you are big wrestling fans. I can't wait to see how it all shakes up. What do you think real quick?
You know, I don't want to see Cody finish his story. I think it would be smarter to keep that belt on Roman because they have a big match coming up in September in Berlin, the Bash in Berlin. And I think a week or so before he would beat Bruno Sammartino's record and be the longest reigning champion ever in the history of the WWEF, whatever you want to call it. I think you have it. Keep that belt on him. And you've had another record breaker on the roster as well in Gunther with the Intercontinental belt. And obviously, I think he's from Austria. So you would have a European superstar headline a show in Berlin and have it be Gunther versus Roman, these two guys that have the longest reigns of both championships, Intercontinental and Universal belts. I think you save the match for Berlin and have Roman have that belt until then. Let Cody finish his story maybe at SummerSlam. Actually, no, let me take that back. What Cody needs to do, he needs to win the belt. It has to be at Madison Square Garden in New York. That's another reason why I think you save Cody getting that belt until then. Dusty was supposed to win that belt in Madison Square Garden. It never happened for him. The shot of him holding the belt was, you know, it switched over after that and he didn't get to keep it. I think Cody finishes his story at Madison Square Garden. That's where it should happen. Not at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. But I know there was a big hubbaloo about the finish the story. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. So I potentially could see it happening on Sunday where Cody gets the belt. I don't want to see it happen because the story is the chase. Have him chase it as long as he can. And I think there's other stuff to do. So that's my take on it.
Well, my take is let's hope the Ravens can finish their story this year in 24. Because
that'd be nice.
Ravens have some unfinished business. We have some fresh faces and then some. Can't wait to see what they do with the plans for Derrick Henry in the backfield. I'm excited, man. Can't wait to get it going this offseason. Draft and schedule release are on the horizon. Let's get it going, baby.
That's right. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Yes, sir. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. Make sure you check us out over on our Discord server, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there, and you can have some tailgate talk. Can't do some game day chat, not till August, September. So got to stick to that tailgate chat, tailgate talk, Discord over there. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And you can check out our channel over on YouTube to see some shorts from the podcast. Brando Cash Pods is where you're going to find that. And don't forget, check out my Washington Capitals podcast called What the Puck. There are 8 games left in the NHL season. Will the Capitals make it to the postseason? After what they did against Buffalo last night, it's hard to say if they will or not. I would like them to get to the postseason, but we shall see. You can listen to my hockey podcast, What the Puck, who is also a member of the Fans First Sports Network. So I think that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
You betcha, my friend. I'm glad to be back to podcasting. I know our buddy David Rivers is happy that we're back to podcasting. He's been clamoring for the call for weeks. And I know everybody else is just as excited, not just Dave, but everybody else. We are back in action, and we're just getting started. Draft is on the horizon, schedule release to be coming next month. And then we roll right into June with the OTAs and mini camp. And then training camp will be here in July for Noah Brandon. I'm not trying to wish away the spring or the summer, but it just seems like, dude, we're already in April. I was just talking to folks at work. I'm like, quarter one's already in the books. Like, I just remember wild. Like New Year's was like yesterday. Like, I remember going to these Ravens games in the playoffs, like, we just went to them last week, and I'm like, we're podcasting in April already, my friend. Like,
it's going crazy.
Quick. It's going quick. But let's just slow down and enjoy the ride. All season, we're going to be here every step of the way, and how about it? Baltimore Ravens, we're going to head into this offseason, make some moves in the draft, look forward to that schedule release, when and where, and how about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.